We just changed our clocks back to Eastern Standard Time. With that change, mornings are brighter. Have early risers gained an hour of daylight? It certainly feels that way at 7 a.m. At 5:30 p.m., however, the truth becomes clearer. Or, if we want to talk about it literally, darker. When we get to early evening, we realize that we haven't gained anything. Daylight is a limited resource, and we have simply shifted our access to it. There are a lot of things in this life that are limited resources, and we're going to talk about that today on our Covenant Weekly Podcast, Season 2, Episode 8. Several things in our world come with limited resources. Money is a limited resource. In our home finances, we know that if we increase our spending in one area, that money won't be available for something else. When a government spends in one area, that is money that won't be available somewhere else. Energy is a limited resource. Some of us feel this more strongly than others. I'm often amazed when I hear how active young people are because I just don't have the energy to do what they do. Whether it's making a meal, going for a walk, putting up Christmas lights, doing grocery shopping, or meeting with people, I use up energy resources and I will subsequently not have energy for other things. And energy is a deeply individual thing. Some of us seem to have a far more limited energy store than others do. And depending on how we're wired, we re-energize in different ways. This can sometimes make it hard for us to understand each other. When working with limited resources, things like time, money, and energy, we need to think carefully about where and how we use those resources. Sometimes, though, a recognition that resources are limited can lead us beyond careful thinking into acting with fear. A scarcity mindset thinks that because resources are limited, we need to hoard things in case we won't have enough of them sometime later. This happens with money and energy. People can do this with their time by refusing to share it with others. It can even happen with food. And when we feel we need to get as much of something as we can, it doesn't take very long at all to see those who would like to have some of those things, money, our energy, our time, food, see them as enemies trying to take from us. Fear easily becomes things like suspicion or anger or even hatred towards others because they threaten our access to limited resources. I've even seen this happen with churches that begin to operate as being in competition with each other over the limited resources of people who will attend church. While we recognize that resources are limited, how can we live in a relationship with those things without sliding into a scarcity mindset that fosters fear and many subsequent difficult and divisive postures? Here are a few thoughts. The first is, we should recognize that God has a hand in resource distribution and that those resources often aren't as limited as we think they are. Scripture describes God as the one who ultimately has everything, and God can surprise us by providing in ways that we couldn't previously imagine. Two quick examples of my experience of ways God has provided despite resources being limited. Some time ago, I realized I was spending too much time working and was missing out on much needed rest. There wasn't a day I wasn't available for work. I was convicted by some teaching about Sabbath, and I realized that my inability to unplug and rest stemmed in part from a need to control and a lack of trust in God. I committed to taking Fridays as a full Sabbath of rest from work, as an act of trusting that God would be at work when I wasn't. Not 2 weeks after making this commitment, I had many extra things come up in my church role, and I found myself on Thursday evening without a sermon prepared and with a very busy Saturday that would leave me only a couple of hours to prepare something that normally would take me a good 10 hours of work to prepare. I was left with a choice. Did I honor my commitment and trust God with my time, or do I take the time on Friday to work? My resources were clearly limited. for me that week. I felt like I needed to trust God to help me do something in less time than I thought was possible. I needed to honor my Sabbath commitment. I did so, and when the time came to work on Saturday, I found myself able to complete something in a fraction of the time it normally takes me. My thinking was clearer than it normally is. When I needed a resource, I found it more quickly than normal. I felt deeply affirmed in my trust for God to work at that moment and provide for me, and that even the use of an obviously limited resource of time wasn't beyond God's participation. Another example came several years later. The limited resource was money. Covenant Church had been struggling financially, and we were heading into a board meeting when we were going to have to talk about significant budget cuts because we were just so behind in giving. I decided to head to the church an hour before our meeting just to try and center myself and catch my breath so that I could enter the upcoming difficult conversation from a Jesus-centered place. I went into my office and began to just read scripture and pray. Then I noticed an envelope sitting on my desk. It had my name and the church address handwritten on it. I almost set it aside to focus on what was at hand, but curiosity got the better of me. I opened it. Inside was a letter from someone I didn't know, but they knew about Covenant Church and me somehow. They'd been prompted by God to send something to the church to be used however it was most helpful. Along with the letter, which insisted on confidentiality, was a check for $20,000. That amount made up the deficit we were facing as we headed into the meeting. Through some people I didn't even know, God had provided in an area where resources are limited. Needless to say, that dramatically changed the tone of our meeting that night. As we recognize that God has some say in the distribution of resources, and they may not be as limited as we think, we can avoid a scarcity mindset. That leads to the second thing. With trust and awareness established, we're invited to live out of a posture of love, not fear. Over and over again in Scripture, we are called to love. And here's the thing about love. It's not a limited resource. Several emotions work this way. The more we give it, the more it grows in us. You know, the more we act out of fear, the more afraid we become. The more we see the world with suspicion, the more suspicious we become. The more we engage with anger, the angrier we become. On the flip side, though, the more we choose to love, the more love we have to give. I'm not sure I really understood this well until my kids came along. Many parents will recognize this. If you loved your spouse before a child comes along, that doesn't shift love from your spouse to the child. Your capacity for love grows to embrace the child, and this continues with subsequent children. Love is not a limited resource. The invitation of Jesus is to live with our limited resources in a way that is guided by the unlimited resource of love. And that leads to a third thought. The reason living this way feels like a threat to our limited resources is because we don't live this way. The Jesus ethic, as Paul outlines in Philippians 2, is that we would each do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. If we all lived this way, each one would have enough, because we would all be watching out for each other. The early church ran into a situation where some widows did not have enough. It wasn't because there wasn't enough, but because people were showing favoritism. Later, Paul called for people to examine themselves before coming to the communion meal because some people were getting drunk and full while others were left hungry. The issue wasn't resources, it was selfishness. It didn't feel like selfishness to those who had the resources because it was just the normal cultural way of acting. But it was a failure to love in the way of Jesus, a way that ensures everyone participates. If we all love in the way of Jesus, we will have what we need. This is a challenge because we look around and see others not living this way. But if we're going to get there, it needs to start somewhere. And the invitation of Jesus and the earliest church leaders was that it should start with us. It should start among us. May you and I have the courage to hold our limited resources with open hands and with love so that all may be welcome to receive the goodness of God. Two main reminders this week. First, watch for Advent devotional guides and opportunities to be generous to people in need over the coming month. We're privileged to support those among us who run breakfast and lunch programs over at All Saints Anglican, and we are glad to partner with social services at Beausoleil First Nation to care for some people in need in their community. So keep an eye out for information about how to support both of those ministries. The second main reminder this week is that we would really like to complete gathering up-to-date contact information from people as soon as possible. If you haven't filled out the Covenant Church information update form, please visit covenantchurch.ca and click on the red banner at the top of the page. Then proceed to the link that is there for the form. If you'd rather fill out a paper form, we have them available at the church building for you to fill out. As you go this week, may you go with the confidence that Paul has in Philippians 4 when he says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And as you go, may the love of Christ manifesting itself among us help that to be true to each other and to the world around us. God bless. Go in peace.